money. Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
You're already laughing, which means for those of you who have joined the show before, there is a conversation before the show that always happens. And we just try and make sure Reb is smiling by the time the camera starts. That's my goal to start the show. So
thanks, dear.
Welcome to the show. This is the show where we talk about the hard issues of money. And Reb usually starts by laughing at whatever I've said just on the way in. So...
okay.
Yes.
Can you just move on?
Just move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got a really important guest here.
So before we move on, I want to just mark this moment in time. This is when normally Reb picks on me, and I know you all love hearing Reb pick on me, but I get to just do that this morning, so I'm just going to mark that moment in time.
Okay.
So thank
perfect.
You.
Okay. All right.
Today's show is sponsored by LTR Industries. Find them on the web, ltrindustries.com. Brian and
Dave and Brad,
and Brad are the lead team there. What does LTR do? Well, listen to this because I have to write this down because this is not my world. But they are a one-stop shop for everything that you need in architectural millwork. I don't know what that means really, except for they make really cool stuff for your house and they do it efficiently, creatively.
And commercial buildings.
Oh, yeah. And anything that is architectural millwork, you get it. Now, if you are an architect or if you are a contractor or if you do commercial, you want to connect with them because they have the setup, Reb. You've been there. Mm-hmm. Amazing setup. They can handle any size project. So thank you, Brian and the team, for sponsoring today's show. And we really want you to check out their work at LTRindustries.com.
Okay, so I'm very, very excited because my friend, I can actually call her my friend. This is also very exciting. she's shaking her head at me. For those of you who are listening, Karen Stiller, thank you for being here today.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy to be here and I'm so happy to be your friend.
Oh, thank you. I met you, Karen, a few years ago because of Dave and your husband, Brent. They were doing a project for the church that you guys were at, and it's because of them. So thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, and thank you, Dave.
And I mean, and part of the like wonderfully tragic part of not why you're here today, but what you have done through a hard loss in losing Brent, which was such a loss for, of course, for you and the community and for Dave, especially too.
You guys were buds.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we're not going to go to the grief, but Brent is probably one of the first really close friends that when he passed away, I realized I've just lost a friend. You know, there are firsts in a lot of our life, and that was one of the first friends that I can say that he's not here. I miss him because my friend is gone, and so
thank you for sharing that.
Really important that. Person in my life, and of course we love being together, so that's
So but I had to say that because that's the reason we're together, and and then you invited me to a writer's group, which has been wonderful. But you've written a book that we want to talk about, one chapter in particular, because it relates to money, because everyone's like, well, why is Karen Stiller here, you know? Before we dig into the subject of the book, because the book's called Holiness Here, and you talk about money and holiness.
Holiness Right Here.
Oh, yeah. For those of you listening,
it's
very nice and green. I really like the cover. Anyway.
Thank you.
I want to quote a passage of scripture that you mention in the chapter about holiness and money. And it's from 1 Chronicles 10, and I'm going to read 6 verses. This was David's prayer following this amazing donation they received for the building of the temple. And It says this: David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" We could do a whole show just on that verse, but we're going to keep going. "Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." I'm reading the scripture, because you mention in the chapter on money this phrase that you would say every week in your church, "All things come of thee, and of thine own we have given thee."
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to just talk in a minute about like the definition of holiness and why you even wrote a book about a chapter about money. But what is significant about that verse for you?
I think, and that part in our church, when that happens, it's after the offering has been taken up. And I remember my husband was an Anglican priest, and there was a time when, and this may have had to do with COVID, but they stopped passing the plate.
Right.
But then they started again because it was deeply symbolic, this plate moving from hand to hand throughout the congregation, and this invitation to give together, which I think matters as well. But that verse really, you know, it's so simple. And I'm glad you read the whole context. I haven't read that whole piece for a while. You know, it's telling us that God has given us all we have. And so when we give back, we're giving back to God what belongs to God. But that's not always easy to do, even though, you know, we want it to be easy. It'd be better if it was easy. It'd be easier if it was easy. And so that, yeah, that's really, that verse is just a reminder, a weekly reminder set in the context of worship with other people that we give back.
I think it, I think one of the reasons it stood out for me, because that isn't my tradition. I didn't grow, we passed the plate as well, but we didn't, you know, speak those scriptures. And when you look at that whole passage, like, who are we, Lord, that we could give to you so abundantly? Like, what, like, that gives me shivers. Like, what a question to actually feel it's such a privilege to be able to give, like that. And that really, to me, is a, must have been such a holy moment for David and the people of Israel. Like, if we can imagine that. And I guess that just ties us to the word that, that you've written about, and that is holiness. So can you, I don't know, I know we only have so much time, but can you talk to us about holiness? Like, what does that mean? And then why does it tie to money?
Yeah, absolutely. So the question I started with was, what does it mean to lead a holy life? And that also came from a prayer in our church context where one of the pastors prayed, "Give us grace, God, to lead a holy life." And I wondered literally in that moment, what does that mean? And that's been a question I've carried with me for many years, partly being married to a minister, understanding that people thought we knew more, you know, we're so great, so holy, so boring, all those things. And so I really wanted to dig into that. And so I like to view, and I share in the book, the idea, and I know this may sound fuzzy-wuzzy, but holiness as a warm invitation from God to, you know, an adventurous life of loving, receiving love, understanding we are the beloved, and then living out of that reality in an active way in the world. And so we know, you know, that I think technically holiness means being set apart, but it's being set apart so that we can launch back in. And So that, you know, is really the sort of angle I take. And the thing about money is interesting because as part of the process of writing a book is the traditional way with a publisher that takes you on is that you meet with the publisher. At least that's been my experience. And so as I met, had this Zoom meeting, the publisher of Nav Press said to me, because you put together a book proposal, you list all your chapters. Right. And he said, money, what does money have to do with holiness? And probably now I realize he was probably a, you know, he probably knew exactly what money had to do with holiness. But I remember my answer right away was, well, that's where the rubber hits the road for a lot of us. So money matters, as you well know.
Yeah, we often talk about the third conversion, the conversion of the wallet, right?
That's good.
You know, where we go, yeah, there's the conversion of the heart and the conversion of the mind as we kind of go through that. And then there's this, now the rubber hits the road.
Yes.
How does that impact your wallet? And I love what the scripture you read, Reb, because when David, when you read it, and I'm just kind of picturing David going, oh my goodness, like, he just sees the abundance of the generosity, like that just praise and worship of the people to come in and say, we're gathering together to build the temple, to build a place where we can meet God. And everybody is just like, can we give more? Can we give more? Can we give more? Can we give more? Like that, that to me, when you were reading it, really just struck me. And I thought, isn't that the connection to holiness as well?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can I get closer? Can I get closer?
Yeah.
Can we get this money out of the way so that I can get closer and closer to you, right?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I would say from the perspective of a minister's wife for many years, a lot of churches struggle with lack of money because people don't give. And I think that's true, you know, pretty generally, or you would know more than I, but I have heard a statistic where a small percentage gives a huge percentage.
Right.
So I don't think I'm alone in my, you know, arduous journey with money and holiness.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, one of the stats that is near and dear to my heart and that I constantly pray about is the stats from Stat Canada that says about, and this is a few years back now, but 11% of our income goes to service the debt, and about 0.6%, and this is Christians, 0.6% in the religious community goes to charity,
right?
Any charity.
Yeah.
Right. And you're going, wouldn't it be amazing to swap those numbers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, you get 0.6 of my income and you get 11%, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I am heartened that it is, we see the impact of religious faith in those stats though, that it, you know, at least it is religious people
who are giving to
who are giving. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's neat. And of course that's across all faiths, I'm sure.
Right.
You just use the word arduous. Mm. Why is it arduous?
Well, I think that, like we talked about, this being a rubber hitting the road moment, because it is really how we most practically and most often make decisions about our faith in our life, like how we spend our time, how we use our money. Money flows through a lot of things and our relationships and so on. And so for me, I remember, you know, reading that verse or God loves a cheerful giver and and being like, oh, crap, you know, I'm not a cheerful giver. And I've had to, I think I am now, but I still sometimes catch a little hesitation in myself, my heart, I guess, where I think, well, I should do this. I should, you know, tithe off that. And I realize, oh, it's still a decision.
Yes.
It's still a decision. But I have come to believe that that's okay. And I think I talk in that book, and I mention it in my first book, The Minister's Wife, too, that God is also very fond of a reluctant giver. And, you know, he might be quite proud of the reluctant giver, actually. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. That is so good.
I have also lived that life, like that I've had to learn to give. And sometimes I always say the joy can catch up with you if if you're willing to enter the fray and open your hand and just let the flow of the currency out of your hands and into others. It's a profound, actually, it is a holy thing to discover that decision, intentional decision to give when you don't feel like it, is exactly when Christ, I find, meets you.
Yeah, I do think that's true. And we do grow in the hard parts, but we also grow in the joyful parts. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking there are also, for the reluctant givers among us, there are creative, beautiful ways to give that can move us in that direction. So I'm thinking a few years ago, I think it was our 30th wedding anniversary, Brent and I were going to go out to dinner or something. And then we came up with the idea, let's send money to a young couple, kind of in honor of our wedding anniversary, so they can go out to dinner. Right. So we chose a couple from our church who we thought maybe didn't get to go out to dinner very often.
Right.
And, we sent them $100 or something on e-transfer and said, we'd love, for you to do this. And there was no charitable tax receipt. And they weren't gushy in their thanks, but they appreciated it. But it did feel really good. Yeah. Like, it was fun for us to do that. So I think, it's okay for giving to be fun, too. And that doesn't mean we're not tithing to our church. Mm-hmm. And, it's nice to get a tax receipt. But there are ways for you personally to find ways that make giving fun. And I think that's a really good way to move into it.
I was just going to say, you pivoted. Reb, you want to talk first? You pivoted a little in the book to say, this is the competition between, we serve God and serve money, and how that interacts with holiness, right? And those, again, we all know the verse. We've probably quoted it 1,000 times here on the podcast. You can't serve God and money. Matthew 6, right? Luke. And so we're saying, and yet, here we're talking about holiness and drawing closer to God. And sometimes I think I miss that in reading those verses. It's the, you can't, right? Jesus is saying you can't. And really, maybe what he's saying is to draw closer to the Father, to draw closer. There's the competition, and you have to leave money aside. If you're going to choose, as you said, it's a choice to move towards holiness, to move towards that place of intimacy with the Father. And money sometimes gets in the way.
Yeah.
Right?
It's interesting to me, and I talk about this in the book to do with another topic, but even as you quoted that verse, you can't serve both God and money, you were kind of like a dad voice. Clean your room. But in fact, what if, and this is kind of a new thought for me that I've been playing with, but what if he was saying, you can't serve both God and money, but here's a way that you can love me and love your neighbors. So I don't know, maybe I'm being too gooey, but it could be softer than that. And then in the softness, it's more of an invitation to consider as opposed to this reaction we feel inside of us. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. Right. That's so hard. That has hard edges. Well, maybe it has softer edges too. And
maybe he's just informing us that it's actually not possible.
Yeah.
One of the things that, as I've meditated on that passage, is he's literally telling us you're trying to serve both.
Mm-hmm.
I've always often read it growing up as a choice between one or the other, but actually we're trying to serve both because we like the things that the love of money brings. And then he tells us, but if you do that, you're actually going to end up hating me if you love money more.
Yeah.
And it's a very that's a holy moment when you stop and just receive it, like you said, just gently receive it. And he's like, it's really not going to be good for you if you run across the road when the car is coming. Please don't do it. And sometimes it feels like a louder voice. Our clients often say, I heard Dave in my head again. And in those cases, sometimes it is the warning. And we warn our kids, the car's coming, stop, And it doesn't have to be either or, but both. He trains and teaches us. And then I just appreciate that you wrote about the word that you wrote about money and holiness, because I don't think we've talked about holiness and money before like this.
Mm. I think one another way to that I have experienced this in my life is that we are happier when we are generous. Like generous people are happy people. And so it may start as a obligation or a discipline or however you want to put it. And, you know, disciplines are good. Obligation isn't bad. Mm-hmm. And then we come to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And then our hearts are not so troubled by the things of the world, right? Yes. Our envy decreases. Mm-hmm. Our, you know, joy in simple things increases. We notice beauty more. So it's actually really good for our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's a beautiful thing to remember.
And I think we need to remind ourselves that so often, because in the world around us, so much of the messaging that we get is not that.
Right.
It is
get, protect.
That's intake, hoard. Like again, that's a lot of the message. And again, the invitation from God is even in Matthew 6 is, well, don't worry. Like God knows what you need. He says he's going to take care of the birds and he goes through that. And then he says, and by the way, you can't serve God and money. And to your point, you know, I speak that on the hardness. It's the, you know, this is the fact. It's just the fact. Yes. You can't serve God and money, right? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And yet you read it in context and you certainly can hear Jesus saying, I'm inviting you into a life that's without worry.
Right.
And biologically, we know that people that don't worry about money are happier and they're healthier physically and they mentally, like, you know, we know those things. But how do we get there?
Yes.
You know, yeah. How do we get there in the context of our world?
Exactly. Right? So we might need Dad to tell us to move in a direction.
Well, and I think you mentioned it, though, that it's an intentional decision and it's not about... It's not about the amount, or it's not even about, you know, using your example of you guys decided together to make this generous offer to this young couple, really in honor of what you thought was important. Mm-hmm. Our marriage is important to us, and this is something we enjoy in our marriage. We actually got to share that with somebody else in this way, and that's beautiful. And it also, as you said, it made you guys feel really good.
Yeah.
Like there was a benefit there, right?
That's right. No, I like that.
I'm having this idea as I listen to you guys talk, like what if that passage is an invitation out of worry? That, you know what, you can't do this. And doing this leads to all kinds of worry because he leads into those questions, right? Like you're worried about many things, about what you're going to eat and where would you, but look at the birds, like look at the flowers. Like I'm actually inviting you. I'm telling you how to walk away from worry by serving me or pursuing me or that whole, I don't know. I'm just,
I think that's really true. Like most of us worry the most about, I'm guessing, our children and our money. Both of those, I was thinking about how much control we have. But there is, there's an invitation to trust, an invitation to a simpler life, and an invitation to contentment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge, right? Like those three invitations, right?
Yeah, I love considering the invitation that God always has for us. Mm-hmm. And I guess for anyone listening today, I would love them maybe to read Matthew 6 in light of reading it as an invitation.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing to do. And then talk honestly with other people.
Yeah.
Like I've written a pretty honest book, as honest as I could. And it helps me to tell my true story and to confess that I struggle with these things, because then we find others do too. And then we can move together because we are not meant to do this alone, even when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm. So, especially when it comes to money. I think, and Rev and I have said this on the podcast numerous times, and we are not shy, but like we don't have all the answers. In fact, we have way more questions about our journey between money and God and how that navigates. And sometimes we say, you know, we're just stumbling forward. Yeah. And then God in his grace gives us some, oh, well, this is a revelation that, wow, okay. So like that germinates, and then that turns into a discipline, or it turns into a habit, or it turns into a frame of reference where we can launch from, again, closer to the Father.
Yeah, but I love that.
Just as because we're coming to the end of the show, but like it has to do with us wanting to live a holy life. Mm. I don't know if you can speak to that and like,
yeah, I think part of what I explore in the book also is that if we wait until we feel like doing things or feel like going deeper in something, often we won't. We're kind of lazy people. And so it is an act of the will. I really do think that. But it's an act of the will in response to the love of God. And that makes it better.
Right.
Wow.
Right. An act of the will.
In response
to God.
The love of God.
We're safe. We are safe to try to lead a holy life. Mm-hmm. And we're safe to trust God with our money.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, there's a whole story in the chapter, which we can't go into because we have no time, but I love it. It's about you and a cruise ship. And
how I fell in love with the butler. I know.
Little teaser.
So you must go buy Holiness Here. Amazon, I'm guessing, is a good place.
Yeah, or any local bookshop. I think in this context, we can talk about supporting
local bookstores. Yeah, that's good. In the Ottawa area, because that's where we are located today. And if you're not in the Ottawa area, you can always order the book through your local bookstore too. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's my favorite quote from the chapter. I'm not even going to read it because it's just you have to read the story to
just leave it as a teaser.
I know, it's my teaser. Go read about Karen and the cruise ship.
And I think what chapter is the money chapter?
It's four.
So you have to read the previous chapters. You can't just jump to the money chapter.
But you know what? I can't imagine anyone jumping to the
money chapter. No, exactly.
You know what?
We've given it a pretty good promo here.
I would highly recommend getting an Audible subscription to listen to her read it, because that's actually how I read it first. But I know Karen, and I it was just so pleasant to have her read her own book. So read your own book to me. So, good. All right, you can pray.
Okay. Let's do that. So Lord, we thank you for that invitation into your presence, where there is so much and there's just no lack. And this morning, we've just explored that in a different context. And so thank you, Lord, that you're so multifaceted. And then as we come to you, it's always a new adventure. And so thank you for that, Lord. And we just give you glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here, Karen. It was so great.
Thank you both. I enjoyed it. It was wonderful to be here.
And we want to thank LTR Industries today, Brian and Brad and Dave, for their sponsorship of today's show.
And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.